in the showers, I'm afraid, is what I think. Hey, don't I know you from man camp? I'm not ready for man camp. Oh, we're on the air. That's what that like is. Hello. Forget everything I said about man camp. Okay. It's not what we're trying to convey here. Well, hi, it's true. You know, Fargo is so friendly and so helpful that I came to town Friday morning, and by early afternoon, they had preserved my handprints in concrete on the Wall of Fame, the Hall of Fame, the Wall of Fame, Sidewalk of Fame, even though nobody knew who I was. That is friendly. They had no idea who I was. They said, hey, put your hands on the sidewalk here and write your name. Cool. Me, Mike Feldman, the slab of the unknown Sidewalk of Fame. Thank you, Fargo. Now tell me this, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. Hey, I'm Sarah Nix. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and Clyde Stubblefield on drums. In this hour of What Do You Know, we celebrate Fargo's finest with North Dakota native actress Kristen Rudrud, plus a bison version of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who would go far for Fargo, it's Michael Feldman.
Fargo. And West Fargo. All of Fargo. Great to be here. Michael Feldman ensconced with Myron Florin, Bob Dylan, Bill Gates, and Bert and Ernie, who left their footprints there, and they were huge. So, I mean, the rumors may be true. Kid from Milwaukee. You made a kid from Milwaukee's dream come true. Thank you, Fargo. Thank you again. I can't thank you enough, Fargo. You're so nice. Everybody's nice here. Everybody is so nice here. I did have to bring my own cement. I thought that was unusual. I am next to Jimmy Hoffa. But I'm the only guy in the walk I don't even recognize, so that's a pretty good feeling. Well, you know, Bismarck may have the mineral rights, but Fargo's got the bragging rights. Huh? Motto? Think possible motto? I'm just trying that out on you. Maybe not. You know, like those ads used to say, make big money in the comfort of your own basement, you know? I'm combing the records right now to see if the farming Feldmans worked a plot or a parcel near the Bakken place out there. I think maybe the first farming Feldmans did. But they were like 1800 B.C. Henry Bakken, you know, for years complained about the corn coming up black. You know? Gave the place up because of it. And now look at it. Okay. Corn that pops itself. You just light it and then it all pops. Anyhow, in all the Fargo and North Dakota news that isn't, a tour bus carrying Justin Bieber's personal chef blew out a tire along I-29 in Manville, North Dakota. Evan Dubb, one of the Good Samaritans who helped get the bus back on the road, said, "It's not something you see every day in Manville." This is right from the paper. I'm not, you know, you have to write this stuff anyway. This is so good. I love it. Dubb used a skid steer loader to get the bus to the Manville Bean Company, where Brody Hutton and Shiloh Lindemann repaired the tire. "It was kind of cool," Hutton said. "Not something you see every day." Although the bus's occupants stayed inside, the trio did talk to the bus driver, who offered payment, but the rescuers wouldn't hear of it. "We told them to remember where you're at. Anybody around here will help you if you need it." Huh? However, while I wouldn't accept cash, Lindemann did request a few Justin Bieber T-shirts, saying, "I've got a niece that's in love with the Biebs," although he himself had never heard him. He said, "I might have to go and buy an album so I know what he sings." The trio didn't get any pictures, so the T-shirts remain the only evidence Bieber's bus made a stop in Manville. There you have the bus and Mandel story. You can't make this stuff up. You really can't. I can't anyway. In other news that may not be accurate, the pyramid at Williston will be constructed as soon as enough Jews with good manual skills can be found. There was one guy from up north. He was good with his hands, but he's in the furniture business. The Forum says its report that the Artisan is the first locally owned furniture store to open in 18 years is incorrect, but did not say which part of that was wrong. Is it not a furniture store? Is it not 18 years? Did it not open? Okay. And reminded people that Bras on Broadway would be held in the Avalon Events Center in Fargo and not actually on Broadway. So, Bras on Broadway is actually in the building. Then the bathrooms at the new West Spar Hall on the Minnesota State University campus in Moorhead will have co-ed bathrooms, an innovation intended to enhance community life. And increase options for students, the dean said. One of whom, junior Shane Kelly, said, "It wouldn't be an issue for me, but I can see how it could be." Love it. They're so much better at saying things than I ever could be. Other news, a head-to-head traffic on West 42nd Street in Fargo remains at a standstill as both sides continued attempts to yield. New report, surprising Fargo, stresses the diversity of Fargo, which includes every type of Lutheran. Some never before seen. Beat scientists at North Dakota. Excuse me a second. I don't know why I'm crying. It's an involuntary reaction. I'm still thinking about how we use that loader. Take it to the bean place, really. Fix the tire. Beet scientists at North Dakota State say they are pretty close to realizing a long-sought dream, the oil beet. It will never replace the sugar beet, the team leader said, but it would add vegetable rights to the mineral rights enjoyed by so many North Dakotans. Okay, that was a long way to nothing. Parties from both sides met again to discuss the South's amiable secession from the Dakotas and their reconfiguration as Southwest Minnesota instead of South Dakota. That frees up the name for the rest of you. Okay. A man in West Fargo who neighbors say was fracking in his backyard. You'll like this one. Stopped after being convinced that not only was there no oil shale in the area, but that the second floor of his house was now the first. So be careful where you frack, like my mother told me many years ago. I think that's what she said. A representative of Qatar has visited the Bakken oil reserve for preliminary talks on joining the United Arab Emirates. So Bakken would be the first non-Arab state in the United Arab Emirates, is what that's saying, I guess. Climatologists say global warming is causing North Dakota's corn to head north to Saskatchewan, and they should reach Estevan by 2020. Page four. Those worried about the impact of oil in the Theodore Roosevelt State Park have been reassured that the buffalo still roam, they just slip once in a while. Hard for them to get back up. That's the main thing. Buffalo. The North Dakota High Court says it's too high to hear the marijuana case. Oh, man, I'm too high. It's good when you can say that and realize. Gusts up to 50 miles per hour across North Dakota, a special concern to farmers and field hands trying to relieve themselves. Weather authorities say it's out of the west if that's any help. And anyhow, It's not possible to get a direct flight from Williston, North Dakota to Paris, France. Although it's still in a Canada Air 30-seater, and so no beverage service the whole way. There's a guy who's flown one, right? Recently, but elbow to elbow on the Canada Airs. Soap on a rope prices now exceed oil prices at Bakken man camps. And you can't buy a moist towelette for love nor money at the man camps. Earthquake is said to be the result of the Earth's natural fracking and not man's. Women camps reportedly spring up around man camps. They're in a binder. They have a binder filled with women camps. I have a binder of women camps. I asked for it, and this is what I got. All right, where was I? Oh, North Dakota projected to be the best place to live over Hawaii by 2032. So it'll be Hawaii out in 2032. So aloha, don't you know? Okay. Anyhow, for North Dakotans of Russian-German heritage longing to return to the homeland, it's just a question of which country to return to, Russia or Germany, or a state still to be named. But that's nothing compared to the problems faced by the Swedish Norwegians. Okay, not good. That'll never see the light of day. The North Dakota 3000 Project says should the oil run out, they're confident North Dakota will strike gold. And should that pan out, attract an advanced civilization from the galaxy to North Dakota, attracted by its resources and the work ethic of its friendly and helpful people. And space aliens, grill and bar. Okay. The new North Dakota license tag drops the Peace Garden for billions in oil and yet the same parka. On the plates. Maybe not. The University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux will be renamed the Fighting Lutefisk. Oh, have you ever seen Lutefisk fight? You ever seen him fight? You know, in the mating season, there's a lot of fighting going on. Fight for the female Lutefisk. Maybe to get away from her. I have no idea, because they end up in lie anyhow. So what's the future? Thank you. The Fargo police, embarrassed by a recent shooting during a holdup at the Sun Mart, explained that the suspect was from Brainerd. No voter registration in North Dakota. All you have to do is prove you're 18 and swear never to leave. It's a big commitment, but a lot of people do it. Fargo man arrested for DUI after his pickup got stuck on the track says he only started drinking once he got stuck. The fall survey shows the Devil's Lake continues to be a walleye factory, and the spring floods should guarantee delivery to your door. Over a half million acres of sunflowers in North Dakota. Van Gogh would have cut off both ears just to live here, I think. Possibly his nose. Of the 16,000 jobs open in North Dakota, not one is for a quiz master. And that's all the news that isn't from Fargo in North Dakota. Thank you so much for having us, Fargo. Great to be here. Find out the Fargo secret. The only place in America where things are going right. You know? People say, how are things going? Oh, I can't complain. You guys really can't. The only place, everywhere else, say, sure, you can complain. Say, tell me, I don't care, I'll listen. But here, say you can't complain. You mean it. Things are going right. Excellent. Kristen Rudrud, you know her probably as Jean Lundegaard from the movie Fargo, but she is a Fargoan. Fargoan? Fargoan? Fargoist? Fargoista? She's here, Kristen Rudegaard. Rudrud, excuse me. Rudegaard. I combined the two names. Kristen Rudrud. Ladies and gentlemen, she brought the hats. More hats. Hi, dear. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh. Can I wrap? Happy in a shower curtain? That's what I really want to do.
What? You want the sheriff?
Oh, the sheriff is nice, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Sit down, Christy. You don't have to hang on. Oh. Come on, sit down here a little bit. Look, this is the real sheriff. Is this the real sheriff?
Marge here.
Hey, do I look like Marge?
Oh,
Marge is
to
cool,
talk
too.
Into this.
Yeah, this thing here.
Okay.
Well, you can wear those if you want. You don't need to. Yeah, just make yourself conscious. So, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
You are like my favorite. Not like, you are just amazing.
Oh,
that was the, first of all, Fargo was in my top, maybe top three movies. I think climbed right over Orson Welles. Third Man. it could be in first place, right? It's an amazing movie. And you have the most amazing role in it, I think. Because what a tough role is that?
Oh.
To act while wrapped in a shower curtain with plastic over your head.
Yeah, well, it was a gift, that role.
Yeah.
They were amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it a challenge, though? I mean, and because you people were so empathetic to you. I mean, it was a comic role.
Yes.
On the one hand. And so people thought, well, she was pretty funny, Jean Lundegaard, with, you know. But we have, let's roll that little speech there. We have the speech here.
I am talking about your potential. Mm-hmm. You're not a C student.
Yeah.
Yet you're getting C grades. Is that the disparity there that concerns your dad and me? You know what a disparity is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's why we don't want you going up for hockey.
Oh, man. Come on, what's the big deal? It's just an hour.
Hold on.
What's the big deal?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, hon.
Oh, hi, Dad.
Jerry around.
Yeah, hon. Yeah, he's here. Yeah, I'll catch him for you. Hi. It's Dad.
Look, Dad, there's no fun way to...
Scott.
Hey, let's watch that language there. How you doing there, Wade?
What's going on there?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now, the language has been talked about a lot in Fargo. Is that a realistic depiction of
what you
might hear?
Well, actually, yeah, I did pick up the... I had gone to school in London, so they cleared out my accent totally, so I had a standard American accent. And so I really had to study the accent when I came back, and I took it off the street. I really picked it up off the street. And actually, that line, the hockey line, I think that's the line that got me the show.
When did you audition for it?
When I auditioned for that, I said, I started working on the part, and I wanted her to, you know, we have the stoic man in the stone face, but there's also the stoic woman, which is, everything's fine, and it's this, you know, kind of porcelain smile. And so I started working on the whole part, smiling all the time, but she seemed fine, because everything I said was, oh, you know, fine.
Yeah.
And then I was in my aqua aerobics class, and somebody yelled at me, "Say hi to your mom." And I waved her off, and I turned to the side of the pool, and I went, "Say hi to your mom. Say hi to your mom." And the moment I discovered that break, then she could be smiling on the outside, but on the inside, she was like, her voice was cracking up. She couldn't control her voice.
So
you'd know that. Emotionally, she really had something going on.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right. That wasn't readily apparent, certainly to her family.
No.
They have no clue.
Oh, no. Yeah. No.
Or she about them, as it turns out, her husband.
Yeah, actually, by the time I get to the word Fargo at the beginning, the first line that I have, she's crying.
Mm-hmm.
It's up in sinus, because, like, do you want to do a little? If you talk here or talk here...
Yeah.
Tuck down here.
Yeah.
It's down in your belly. Yeah. And then you can take it up to your chest. Yeah. And then you can take it to your throat like that.
Yeah.
But then usually when people are scared, they go right up underneath their eyes. So they're talking back from right here. So they're almost going to cry, you know. So that's what I did with her. I just pitched her voice up into her sinus register.
Oh, yeah.
And so... So when she's talking, she's smiling, but she's crying.
Yeah.
So she says, "How's Fargo?"
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
And you're upsetting me right now. That's how good you are. You're upsetting me right now. I'm feeling so bad for you. And you're just telling me where the voice came from. That's what it is. She is so authentic, even though it's a comedy and she's in a sort of ridiculous situation.
Yes, yes.
Her husband's having her kidnapped and she, you know, and all this stuff. But she's so believable in that.
Well, it was so well written. Those guys are brilliant. They're so brilliant. I got a chance to work on a lot of Shakespeare and really great classical things when I was training here and at Morehead State with Delmar Hansen and Rhoda Hansen. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, we have the most incredible teachers. That's what makes our city incredible. Yeah. But anyway, so I was used to really great material, and their stuff is so brilliant. You can keep digging and digging and digging, just like Shakespeare. Yeah. You can just keep digging deeper and deeper, and you really get to the marrow of it instead of, you know, getting lost.
Did you contribute to her dialogue at all? Did you?
Oh, yes.
So you would.
Not me.
Yeah.
But I did add, you got to come with.
Yeah.
I said to the Coen brothers, you have to have come with. And
come
they
with.
Said, what do you mean, come with? What? And I said, no, it's just come with. So it's in the scene when I'm getting kidnapped on the radio, the TV.
Now, was that you in wrapped inside that thing the whole time?
Actually, that's me up to the point that they started doing the stunts.
We started stumbling down the stairs,
and then they would not allow me to do that. Although I had stumbled down stairs, you know.
I certainly have.
I had done Neil Simon.
Sure.
Anyway, but yeah, so they had a stunt double do that, and she actually came back with two black eyes.
Oh no!
Yeah, they're really brutal. They're known for being very brutal to their actors.
The Coen brothers.
Yeah, they have fun, and
they have fun, but the actors don't. Huh?
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
But it was great because she followed me around, so she got that little waddle, and she got the whole thing.
Yeah.
Really funny.
Do you waddle? I don't know.
Oh, well,
Jean does.
Yeah.
Yeah. How hard is it? All right. But that was you in the scenes where you're sitting in the chair and stuff and grunting and make. At that point, the only way you can communicate your emotional state is by making these noises and these yelps and all these things that she does. How hard is that? I mean, that was rather amazing, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we did that wild, a lot of that.
Yeah.
We did wild sounds, so anytime that she's on, there's this wild sound.
Oh.
That's when they record, and anyway.
Yeah.
And actually, it was kind of funny because the crew also got up into this state. And what I did to get to that point was I did this exercise where you'd say, you guys want to do it with me? It's you say, why fly? Say it. Why fly? Why fly so high? Why fly so high? Why fly so high in the sky? And then you see, you start to feel kind of...
Guys are good.
And then she would just... like this. Anyway, that stuff, and then the whole crew is getting really scared, too.
Yeah.
So,
those sounds that she made when they're breaking into the bathroom, for example.
Yes, that was... well, actually, they wanted me to do the sort of classic scream from the Psycho.
Oh, yeah?
But I'm terrified of scary movies.
Yeah.
So I've never seen Psycho.
No, you haven't seen it?
No, I don't dare see it.
Yours is a much better shower scene than
hers.
Yeah. 10 times better. 100 times better.
But they wanted that, and Ethan kind of said, how about that scream? Like ah, scream. But they ended up using mine, which was more like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
She really came from, it was very guttural.
Visceral, yeah.
Right, yeah.
And more, therefore more believable.
Really?
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, and then probably some people in Fargo, think the movie does not fairly reflect upon Fargo, which obviously it doesn't. It's a comedy.
Right.
It really reflects more on Brainerd.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But as has been said, who would go to see a movie called Brainerd?
Right, you know,
It's said many times. How do you respond to this, as far as the Fargo-ness of it?
Well, actually, that Brainerd thing, when the guys came, they don't really understand. Like, they picked Fargo because it was funny, but we know why it's funny, because... Johnny Carson was an ensign in the Army and was taking 300 troops or 300 guys across the country, the troops, and they got snowed in Fargo for 3 days. So they spent 3 days between the Empire Tavern and the Bismarck Tavern, and the lore is that he didn't get 50 on, and they're grandparents of the people here. But from that moment on, he made fun of us. Remember?
Fargo was a catchphrase.
It was a joke every
line.
Night. So we went to sleep with these jokes about Fargo in our mind.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's part of why they,
And that was all a result of being snowed into the Bismarck?
Yeah, Bismarck and the Empire.
And the Empire.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But anyway, but the... yeah, so I don't know. What was your question? I think I answered
forget.
The wrong one.
Fargo-ness.
Fargo-ness.
Some people feel like it's unfair and sort of maybe a little bit...
Well... You know,
I mean, it brought a lot of... There's the chipper right there, actually.
Oh, my God.
That's a replica of the chipper. That's not... Don't get nostalgic. It's not the actual chipper.
That's not Steve's foot.
No, that's not Steve Buscemi's foot.
No.
That's a replica. I did see the actual one. It's by the Walk of Fame out there.
Oh, yes.
And, do you ever get that? People say, that's so not Fargo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people are really mad.
Yeah.
And people at first were really mad, but then, you know, they'd go on the Orient Express and be invited to stay all over the country because they were from Fargo. So a lot of really fun things happened to everybody after that. But
Who got invited on the Orient Express
because they're from Fargo? To me. Yeah. A lot of people come up and tell these crazy stories. They said they were from Fargo, and so they got invited to stay all along the different places on the Orient Express.
They got to come with on the Orient Express.
They had to come with. I'm really skirting your question, I know.
I know you are. But you're a Fargoan.
You're
from Fargo.
I'm from Fargo, yeah.
And you think so. It's basically, it's in Fargo is kind of, it's a fictitious place in this movie.
But it's
based on reality.
Pretty close.
Yeah, but steeped in Brainerd.
Yeah. Yes, And but I think the accent is, basically you sort of go up to move your grandparents, great-grandparents, mm-hmm. to find the accent. Yeah. I had a grandpa that told the Ole and Lena jokes all the time.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
You know any?
No. I'm not going to tell a joke. I know some, but I don't want to die. Too bad. But, I think it's because we had to yell across the fields. We had to pitch our voice. Like, so you have farmers.
Yeah.
That talk kind of like this, you know, and it's a really laser sound, you know. So it's like, let's say,
how do they talk?
What
would they say?
We're going out in the fields, and we come in and go to Fargo, and we go to the discos and really get down.
Now that goes back to the language itself, right? To Norwegian.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's sort of the way those
well, most
languages
of our
are
ancestors
voiced that
spoke
way.
Norwegian.
Yeah.
Or most of our grandparents spoke Norwegian in the home. So, that was...
Or Russian-German.
I'm sorry. A lot of Scandinavian and, some German.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. And your classical training, because basically you're a stage actress.
Right,
and,
right, yes.
And class lighting.
Well, I trained with Rhoda Hansen here. How many had her as a teacher? Rhoda Hansen? Oh, can't believe it. Anyway, great teacher. And then Dr. Hansen over at Morehead State. You guys know him, right? And then I got to go on and train at London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art.
Yeah.
And then came back to New York and got to work with Sir Peter Hall, and Ian McKellen and Amadeus.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
So, yeah, it was...
Thank you for your resume.
Oh.
I'm going to pass this along.
Oh, anyway, yeah. Please
you don't really need one for this show. You know, it's absolutely no qualifications. But this is very interesting. Have you been in musicals as well?
Oh, yes.
And you sing as well?
Well, I'm not going to sing today.
No, no.
Yes. In the shower mostly now.
Yeah.
Yes.
You still take showers after that?
Yeah.
You know, speaking of Psycho, after that shower, I saw it when I was probably 12 when that movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it, and I couldn't take a shower for at least a year.
Oh, yeah.
It was so traumatizing, you know. And I wonder if that scene with her in the whole break-in scene is so amazing. That whole sequence there, where she's sitting watching her TV show, and they got the couple on there that's showing how to take the stuff inside of an egg out, and put something else in there. And the guy's saying, "Oh, how do you do that?" And suddenly she hears a crash at the door, and it's Steve Buscemi and this other guy coming in. And that whole sequence at least, and her reactions to it, where she becomes aware of what's happening, and the whole it's actually I think it's brilliant.
Well, they actually directed me to just stop and just stare when I saw him, instead of like, jump or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then the terrible thing was Steve Buscemi had a hat on, and he turned the eyes sideways. So every time I looked at him, I'd start laughing. And so it was like $6 million budget. It was a really small budget.
Yeah.
And so we had to do like three takes because I was laughing at Steve.
Yeah.
So that was
the funny looking one?
Oh, yeah, he was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was, it was scary, and actually it was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
And we, I ended up really black and blue, and he ended up with cuts. And
oh.
I bit him.
Oh, yeah, there was a biting thing there.
Yes.
And the one guy needed unguent.
Yes, right, for my bite, yes.
Yeah,
and
looking
I
for
drew
the
blood.
Unguent. Looking for the young. That's really, he was great too.
Oh, he
what
was
a,
really
what a strange role! I mean, all the roles were so great in that movie. That's
yes, yeah.
Everyone had a, like a life changing role.
Right.
It seems
yeah,
like
yeah.
Everyone.
Actually, I have.
Yeah. Well, you got the young one?
No, I found the script.
Oh, you got a script.
I found the script, and Carl. Oops. Carl's name is Carl Rolvag, not Carl Showalter. You know,
oh,
Rolvag,
yeah.
Rolvag, like O.E. Rolvag.
Rolvag.
Giants in the Earth. Kind of our Bible here, right?
Yeah, wasn't he supposed to be French Canadian? I thought or something. That's
well,
what I got out of his character. He was like,
I don't know.
Yeah, or the Marlboro Man, as the hookers say. By the way, those hooker girls, what do I know what you call them? I guess they were hookers. Were they local?
out of Brainerd, yeah.
They were, yeah. Okay.
You got to go to Brainerd.
They were totally believable. They were great. You know, yeah. Everyone was so, yeah, each role was so great in this movie. But they, yeah, I thought they were hilarious.
Oh, they
know?
Were wonderful,
the
yeah.
The Marlboro Man and the funny-looking little guy. She asked to describe him, said, oh, he was funny-looking. Which describes it perfectly.
Right,
you know, think
right.
About
he is, yes.
If this is the original script. Wow, this is
yeah.
Be worth
yeah, there was a dream sequence in this. It didn't make it to the
what
movie.
Was that?
There was some dream sequence. It's gone. Yeah. I couldn't find it.
Was it your dream?
No,
dream?
But I'm wondering in the if they do the series. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the series is coming. That's right. For
they're doing a television series.
Yeah, FX,
Fargo, I guess, yes. I don't know much about it, but
no. Are you
they
interested?
Could have a dream sequence.
Are you interested in being...
Well, I
you can't really reprise your role because you got,
No, I wasn't chopped up.
No, you weren't. What happened to you, though?
I was intact. So
you were.
I could come back in a dream sequence and bring Steve's foot.
Poor Steve.
Yeah, poor
now
Steve.
Now he's a leading man, though.
I guess, yeah. I don't have a TV, so I haven't
You don't have a TV?
No.
For moral reasons or electrical reasons?
Probably.
Yeah. Not interested?
Well, I did this thing once called The Artist's Way, and they have media deprivation for 1 week.
Uh-huh.
You just don't have any media. And that was like 15 years. I got addicted to it.
Uh-huh.
I love it. I got so much done,
yeah.
And so I just never got a TV again.
Got a radio?
I have a radio, yes. I do have a radio. And that's where
Thank
I hear
God.
You.
Thank God.
Yes, in the car. Yeah.
You can't be that deprived where you can't have a radio. That's going too far. What's next What's next for you?
Oh,
acting
well.
Acting-wise and otherwise? Or,
you know, I'm not really sure. I'm just kind of playing it by ear right now. And, and I just got my daughter off to college. And,
you did? Where's she going?
Ithaca College.
Oh, and yeah.
Yeah, you did a show there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we were in Ithaca, yeah.
Yes.
It's a great place.
Yeah, so anyway, so that's, you know, sort of up for whatever's next.
Yeah. Are you, after doing this role that was so brilliant, were you... tendency for people want you to do that role over and over again in different situations?
Absolutely, yeah. That's what happened. I kept getting, you know, they kept asking me to be a hysterical mom.
Yeah,
and, so.
And that probably would get old. And
right, well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I ended up burning my eyes. I was driving there, and I remembered I had chopped onions once and started, I was tearing so much I started sobbing. So I was driving along, and I thought, I need an onion. So I ran into a, like a Hilton or something like that with $5. I need an onion. I need an onion. They gave me an onion, and I ended up just, like, using it during all the scenes.
Yeah.
To keep, because it was 2 days.
2 days of making chopped salad, basically.
Yeah. Enters sobbing hysterically was,
yeah.
And I had never done a feature film, so
yeah.
I got the onion to work for me. But after a while, it wouldn't work, so I just started sticking pieces of onion in my eye. Yes.
The things you do for art.
That was terrible. Yeah.
Kristen Redwood, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's a great thrill to meet you.
It's so much fun. Thank you.
Kristen Redwood, from Fargo and lots of things. Watch for her. Oh, yeah, take all your stuff. Got your stuff. She's taking all the hats. She's wonderful. Oh, I love her. honestly believe that's one of my favorite roles. And that movie, I know, you may not like it. Some of you, how many of you applaud if you have a little bit of Fargo resentment? Fargo the movie resentment. Okay. Applaud if you have, you think it's funny and it's all in fun. And okay. All right. That's what I thought, too. What?
Nothing.
Oh, you guys. Yeah. Oh, hi. You're here, too. Okay.
I am.
Yeah. How are you?
I think I am.
John Tulin, our piano player, leader of the band. Well, now explain to us what motif they will pursue at this point.
What motif will we pursue?
Yeah. What motif are you pursuing
we
at this point?
We will pursue an excellent motif because the song is called Excelento.
Excelento. What do you know, trio?
To give you some time to go elegantly into the audience.
How do you get from there to here and here to there? Okay, go over here. Are you still practicing or what is this? Oh, you're playing me into the audience. Oh, okay. I thought you were just taking over. All right. Did I mention, by the way, besides John Tulin, our piano player, that's Jeff Hammond on the bass. And did I mention that distinguished-looking gentleman there on the drums is none other than the funky drummer, Clyde Stubblefield! Funky drummer! Funky! Played with James Brown. Played with James Brown. In the day when all those hits were rolling off, including Funky Drummer. Wasn't that one of the hits? Yeah. That's the only way he'll talk to me, though. It's kind of annoying. Laura Karagian? Close? Close? Thanks. Thank you very much. When we left Bismarck at 6 a.m. today, there was a bright, very bright star in the east and a meteor across the sky to send us on our way. What astronomical phenomenon? I think it's biblical. I think something bigger than astronomy brought you here. I'm not saying it's just you and me or anything. I'm saying because he's there, too. But, I'm saying it's, you know what I'm saying? Okay. I'll say no more. Al Beaton is a college instructor in Fargo. Is it true that you own a wood chipper? Where is Al? What are you, a wise guy, Al? You're an instructor. Is that the way you talk to your students? Probably, huh? No, but you know the movie, the wood, you know, you can't do that with a wood chipper. There was a guy in Wisconsin. Oh, never mind. I don't really like it. It's kind of grisly. Remember that guy who was on a bridge over a river and he was disposing of something? And but it's not designed for it. Don't do it. A sausage maker. If you had like a big sausage grinder. But then you need a whole lot of casing. And then you're left with the sausage. So, you know, you don't really gain anything. You still got to dispose of the sausage and something. Stop me if I'm wrong.
Stop. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. Do you ever make a sausage or anything like that?
No.
Do you make any foodstuffs at all? Or?
I try to avoid it.
Yeah. No cooking at all? You never cooked?
Well, survival.
Yeah. Okay.
He loves to stir.
After all these years, he's still stirring. You're in business. You know, it's when he stops stirring that you got to worry.
That's true. Yeah.
So you get the pot going and give him the spoon, is that it?
No, I like him to stay away from it, but he does that to bug me.
You could get like a very long spoon, so he...
The doesn't make any difference. Long, short, I've tried them all.
What is your name? Because I want to quote you.
Spoons, I'm talking.
I know you are. Everybody knows it. What's your name?
Nancy Sager.
I'm Ron.
Okay, I figured he was. If he wasn't, it's even a better story, though. The guy, some guy with a long spoon is stirring your pot. What do we have for them? They deserve something for that.
Well, so that they can spend a little less time in the kitchen, we've got a box of chocolate-covered potato chips from Carol Widman's Candy Company in Fargo.
Oh, what a good idea. Who thought of that? That's such a good idea. What audience member performed 28 nuptials on the infield before a Minnesota Twins baseball game, much to the chagrin of his bishop? I don't know. Is it Jerry Gottfried? Yeah. You were in the movie, too, weren't you? You played the father, didn't you? Hey, how you doing? Father, pastor, I guess that's typecasting for you. Yes. I'll come down here to say hello. Excuse me. Pardon me. Fargo South. Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Yeah. Hey, are you out for a sport?
No.
Well, what's the matter with you?
I don't know.
Do you have a sport?
Trust me, there's a lot of things wrong with that.
No sports, tennis or anything? Or
No.
Field hockey?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, wait a second. I'm getting to the pastor here. Don't you do that. It's an affront to the church. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very good. Very good.
So the bishop didn't care for you doing that on the ball field?
No, I think she might have been a little embarrassed by it at all. You know,
Don't you have to clear it before you actually do that kind of thing?
Apparently, I didn't. Apparently, I didn't.
You mean apparently you didn't?
Well, of course.
You did or you didn't?
I did not, no. Yeah. I did not.
Isn't it usual to go through channels before you're doing nuptials in front of Twins game or something?
I guess you were supposed to, but I didn't. No, I didn't.
Were any of the ball players involved in a nuptial?
Actually, there was. Tony Oliva was the witness for all those weddings.
Well, he was the witness.
He's a witness.
He was not involved as a participant, though.
Well, he was sitting right next to me signing the wedding certificates.
Yeah.
He was right there.
Autographed the certificates. Does that make them legal or not? I think
they make them valuable. I think they make a collectible. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. And if I need an uptroll or a ball game, what about you? Did you go out for a sport?
I'm going for badminton.
What?
Badminton.
Badminton. See? Go for badminton. Do something. I do something. It's good for. It looks good on your resume. Say you're a badminton player. All right, we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, a chance for you to win fabulous prizes, including chocolate-covered potato chips, which sounds great to me. Before we can play, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. Who ended up with that? Okay. Why don't you come down that way, and I'll meet you down there. This is a legal requirement saying who can and cannot participate in the quiz. And let's find out about those legal qualifications. How are you, sir? You doing good? Thank you for joining us. And where? Here? Okay. How are you? Okay. What?
I got it.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Hi.
You are?
I'm great. My name's John.
John?
Yeah.
Just use the one name?
John Pike.
John Pike, how are you? John, take that and I'll
go. Okay, awesome. Yeah. Sure. All questions on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. You're getting C grades. It's the disparity here that concerns your dad and me. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone screwed it up. Okay. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Very good. One of the better renditions I've heard. Thank you very much, John. All right, let's see the hands of those who want to try them at the quiz. Chance to win fabulous prizes. Who wants to play the quiz? Come on, Fargo. Come on, Moorhead. Come on, West Fargo. Who's going to do it? Are you standing up for this quiz or just because you got to stretch? What? For the quiz? Well, you went all the trouble standing up then. Why don't you come down here? That's pretty cool. Never had that happen before, someone actually stood up. Is that a local custom? Thank you for doing that. And you, hi.
How are you? Good, thank you.
And you are?
Keith Sandberg.
Keith?
Correct.
Where are you from?
North Fargo.
North Fargo! And Keith, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I listen to it every week.
Good enough.
Usually twice, because I just...
Oh, my God, you're a glutton. A glutton for punishment. Come on, Keith, come on up here. Look at the curling. We got curling equipment. Chipper. There you go. I don't know if you want those. You want headphones or not? Optional. Okay. What do you do in life as we know it, Keith?
I'm an IT director.
You're what, IT director?
And I do investment advisor.
Oh, my God. Two things I would never touch with a 10-foot spoon. Wouldn't and touch him with a 10-foot spoon.
What? So, and we have six kids, so pretty busy there.
When do you have time? I mean, for IT. With how many kids? Six?
Six.
Names real quick.
Claire, Lauren, Nathan.
Real quick.
Mark. Carl, Aubrey. It's in the right order, even.
Yeah. A lot of folks with big families use the same letter, you know.
It'd be easier.
Yeah. Did you think about that? Was it a hard? Are you the namer in the family?
We adopted him.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
So. We didn't have a lot of choice. In some
oh, okay. All right. That's cool. Fabulous. And I bet all the kids love What Do You Know, don't they, when you're listening to it twice
My
a
oldest
week.
Daughter does.
She does?
Yeah.
One out of six is about our
that's
ratio.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's really.
16%.
Yeah, no, that's better than I usually do. Okay. Keith, some of their plays along with you. How do they do that?
Holster that dialing finger, partner. This is an encore performance of What Do You Know, so there's no need to call now.
The question is, what did Mort Bank of Bismarck get for his gallon jug of McJordan burger sauce? This made the news all around the world because no one could believe it. He had a McDonald's restaurant, I guess, there in Bismarck, and he happened to have, they did a promotion in the 90s with McJordan burgers. He had a big jug of the sauce left. Put it on the market. We want to know, what did he get for it? Donovan's on the line from Regan, North Dakota. Hey, Donovan.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm a little under the weather, but...
Oh, you are? Okay. Donovan, what did Mort Bank of Bismarck get for his gallon jug of McJordan burger sauce?
$10,000.
Oh, you got it right off the bat. Donovan, you're feeling better already, aren't you?
I am.
Oh, yeah. Good. Donovan, this is Keith. He's your partner in crime.
Hi, Donovan.
Hello, Keith.
He's also an investment advisor, are you?
Correct.
You need any advice in investments?
If I had anything to invest, I suppose.
Yeah, that's his advice. Get something to invest.
Yeah.
Get some money.
Yeah. Get some money and invest it. All right, Donovan, Keith, you are a team right now. You guys work together. We have various categories, and what are they, Sarah?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Donovan, you can pick first one. What would you like?
Things you should have learned in school.
School it is. Use then in a sentence to prove that you're from around here. Who wants to do it?
I was letting Donovan do this one.
Donovan, you want to do it?
All right. Then will I get a clue?
Well, usually in the form of a question, isn't it? I think a part of a question, I think, is what I'm thinking here. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was my question.
Am I getting a clue then? Is that what you're saying?
Then will I get a clue.
Okay. We can accept that. Is that right, Keith?
Sure,
all right. That's good. Right. Put it at the end there. You're like, are you going to the lake then? But I had mine, but that's close enough.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there, sir?
We have current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Keith?
Current events, please.
Current events, right out of the news, maybe not. What was the motive for the 17 dumpster fires a Moorhead man started? Why did he say he did it?
He liked the excitement.
Yes, he liked the excitement. Donovan, you agree with that? That's what he said. Did it for the excitement. what a good motive.
It's a slow week.
Yeah, it was a good motive for him.
Two right, zero wrong.
Fantastic. What's left?
People, places, science, or odds and ends.
Donovan?
Science.
Science it is. Okay. According to research at North Dakota State in Fargo, will drinking pickle juice, beet juice, or wheatgrass stop cramps during exercise?
Donovan, I think this one's pickle juice.
For some reason, that sounds right.
That's right, pickle juice. Holy cow, these guys are too smart. They can't be on this show. They've won the quiz. Looks like we're in a one-for situation here. Now, you guys could quit, right? Or Sarah, what could they do?
Yeah, or they could go for the mother load.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do they have to do to get the mother load?
They have to get two more questions
right.
No,
we're just doing the one-for, Sarah.
Oh, just one-for? Then they have to get one more question.
Yeah, right. But if you get it wrong, then you lose everything you've gained so far.
He's got six kids.
I have to go mother load myself.
Mother load, Donovan?
No guts, no glory. Let's go for it.
No guts, no glory, Donovan. Okay. Got to get this one right. What category? Let's see. Is it back to Donovan?
Donovan.
Yes, Donovan. What category would you like? Come on, here. What's that?
Shall I list them off? People, yes. Places, or odds and ends?
People, places, odds and ends.
My partner have a preference?
I have no care. I don't care.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Could be anything. Yes, it is. True or false, in the North Dakota call centers, the women are encouraged to use Chinese or Indian names when they answer the phone.
I actually used to work at a call center out of college, and I don't remember any Chinese names back then.
Okay.
In the early 90s.
Okay.
I did too, and I don't recall that either. So.
Okay. So you're saying it's false?
I believe it's false.
False is true. Yes, it is false. It's an idea, though, worth thinking about. Congratulations, you won the mother load.
Keith, you can begin your quiz victory celebrations with 2 6-packs of refreshing summer wheat ale from the Fargo Brewing Company. And to complement that beer, Deb's Texas-sized chips in 3 great flavors, sun-dried tomato, spinach, and garlic from Deb Jenkins of Deb's Corner Foods and Catering here in Fargo. Then read Mark DeSalle's How Fargo of You, Lessons in Kindness from America's Most Surprising Success, in a signed copy from the author, while ironically wearing a wood chipper t-shirt from the Fargo-Moorhead Convention and Visitors Bureau. Donovan, you don't have to be Norwegian to appreciate a package of Freddy's homemade potato lefse, hand-rolled and fried to perfection here in Fargo since 1946, which you can enjoy with Bernarski's Bloody Mary and Caesar seasoning, included in a basket with Clamato, olives, and a t-shirt, all from Scott Karski and David Bren of Brenarski's in faraway Dickinson, North Dakota. From the Fargo-Moorhead Convention and Visitors Bureau, a sturdy travel mug and an always warm blanket, and plaster your walls with the Land and Its People poster from North Dakota State University. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice job. Donovan, well done. I hope you feel better.
We'll be back live at Monona Terrace in Madison starting September 14th. For a full schedule and ticket information, click over to notmuch.com or call 608-262-2201. There's good news for Feldman fans. Michael's book, Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other, is now available for Kindle, Nook, and all other ebook devices. For more information, click over to notmuch.com. Coming up when we return to the Festival Music Hall in Fargo, North Dakota, it's guitarist Tim Sparks, How Fargo of You author Mark DeSalle, and Soup from Kroll's, plus another wood-chipping edition of the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Hey, I'm Sarah Nix, welcoming you back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and Clyde Stubblefield on drums. In this hour of What Do You Know, guitarist Tim Sparks, local author Mark DeSalle, Eileen from Kroll's Diner, and Greg from the Maple River Distillery, plus another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Back at ya. Thank you, Fargo. Stop being so nice. I feel worse about myself coming here. You know? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Tim Sparks is going to just knock your socks off here. You're from Detroit Lakes, is that where you're living now?
I'm from Frazee, Minnesota.
You're from where?
Frazee.
Where is that?
Well, I like to tell people it's about halfway between Fargo and Lake Wobegon.
Yeah. So you're far Wobegon, is what you're saying. You're beyond Wobegon. Whatever is beyond that.
It's a little bit. It's about 45 minutes down the road going east from Fargo.
Yeah, but you're from Winston-Salem, aren't you? How'd you end up there?
Well, how does anybody from the South wind up in the frozen wilderness? They fall in love.
If you could answer that, we'd find out the answer to that question. But just were you on the road traveling and you came through?
I was, and I met my future wife, and that's what brought me here.
Yeah.
I've been here ever since, and I've been very happy.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And born in Winston-Salem, you traditional country blues. Is it in church or something that you learned to play and all that? Or?
Yeah, my grandma was a musician, played piano in churches in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And
no kidding. How cool is that?
So that was my big inspiration when I was a kid.
Yeah, and how did you learn how to do the picking thing?
Well, I had some uncles who played a little bit of guitar, and she did too, and I was mostly self-taught. And then
really? There's a gene for it, I guess. Because I tried to be self-taught, and I never learned anything. Because I'm a lousy teacher, you know? If you're going to be self-taught, be a good teacher, you know? Fantastic influences on you and your playing. Jelly Roll Morton, I know, is one that was mentioned. But
yeah, I like jazz and blues and country music, and Doc Watson was a big inspiration to me when I was a kid.
Yeah, fantastic. What do you got for us here?
Well, I play kind of a style of music called fingerstyle guitar, where you play the melody and the bass line and the chords all at the same time like a juggler. So
yeah.
I'd like to play a piece for y'all that's a very famous example of this style of music. It's a piece by William Brown called the Mississippi Blues.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Holy cow, what a self-teacher. You can glue that right back on, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty much, did you bring the glue with you?
Well, we were joking backstage that I got my fingernails at Walmart, and one blew off my finger right there at the
yeah.
end of the finale.
Go through a lot of them, I guess. And you yes. buy them, but gross, probably. Gross at a time. And you're doing Tchaikovsky now? You're doing Nutcrackers? What is that?
Well,
Nutcracker Suite?
I have a new CD coming out now called The Nutcracker Suite, and it's a solo guitar arrangement of a piece by Tchaikovsky that's well known. And
Has he ever been finger picked before, Tchaikovsky?
Well, I don't, maybe picked
he hasn't mentioned it. I read the bio. I didn't.
This yeah. is
what gave you that idea to do that? It's kind of unusual.
Well, finger picking pieces, you just hear things and they'll just strike you as, you know, that probably looks playing on guitar pretty good. And so you try it out and there you have it.
Oh, you're different, I'll tell you that. You know, we always said that about you. You want to do another one for us?
Sure, I'd love to. This is a.
This Eddie Tchaikovsky here?
This is from the Nutcracker Suite and it's the dance.
You're kidding, you're going to do it.
Sure.
I thought you were just kidding about that. You actually
agree,
do it?
Michael.
Fantastic.
This is called Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Right. Tim Sparks.
Thanks a lot, man.
Django Reinhardt meets Tchaikovsky in that one. Beautiful. That was fabulous. Tim Sparks, and I know he has a CD and coming out here. And I don't know what it is, but check him out online. I'm sure you'll find out what the latest one is. Tim Sparks. Wonderful stuff. How far go of you? Is that a common saying? No? So Mark invented that, huh? Okay. He came out with a book on it, and it's caught on, at least around here. Not so much in Bismarck. Mark DeSalle, how far go of you? Joining us right now on the What Do You Know stage here. A beautiful festival hall. In Fargo. Hey, man. How are you? How's it going, Mark? You got your kids in the audience, too? Because I got cards from...
I do. You were talking to my son about badminton a little while ago.
Oh, that was him. Okay, yeah. Out there. Okay, all right. So he's playing badminton, but his friend is not.
No, his friend...
Well, I get him interested in badminton, I think. I need something on the... You know, because they look at that in college admissions and all that sort of stuff. And
I don't know that they look at badminton that often.
Badminton is very important, though. It's Olympic. It is
it
Olympic.
It is true. Have you watched some Olympic badminton? That's some bad stuff.
Yeah, it is. Bad. Bad. Capital B-A-D.
Yeah.
Mitten. Now, you know, this book is based on the fact when you came, when you come from Phoenix?
Arizona, yeah, yeah. And I'd lived in Arizona and California all my life.
Yeah.
I was 50 and...
And no one was ever nice to you that whole time in Phoenix or in L.A. You're in L.A. for a while. No one ever said anything to you. And then you come to Fargo and suddenly people are giving you meals and making dog houses for you and pulling you out of ditches. And now, I want to ask you this. Is it something about you...
No.
That brings that out in people. Are you a very needy person, and people sense that and want to make it right for you?
Well, I am a needy person. Yeah. No, actually, you know, I've always known lots of nice people.
Yeah.
But when you come to Fargo,
yeah.
It's like a totally different level
of nice.
Nice.
Uber nice.
Yeah, good Uber good nice. Word. Yeah. I may use that in my next book or something.
Yeah, Uber is it because they're so close to Canada? No, Canadians are very nice. They're known for being nice.
I know. We've,
there's I've Canadian seen, nice,
yeah.
And there's North Dakota nice right just below it. Is it
you know, it's related.
Proximity?
And it has to do with the fact that there's this annual crisis called winter. And people learn to be very nice to everybody because if you aren't and they aren't nice to you next time, you may die in a road under a bunch of snow. So I'm serious.
Good reason. No, that's a good reason.
The annual crisis of winter has a lot to do with the culture around here.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, there's a lot of parts to it. There's a lot of other things too, but that's a big deal.
Yeah.
It but trains people to be as incredibly self-reliant, but it also trains them to be incredibly helpful.
Helpful because you may be the only help around for someone in a dire situation.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't explain why someone would build a doghouse door for you or a dog door for you.
Right.
That's not a dire situation.
Right.
Necessarily.
No, but it's a habit that everybody acquires. And it's actually brilliant if you start thinking about it. which I didn't do because I was so stunned by the culture for the first year or two. I didn't start thinking about it until about year three or four. Mm-hmm. But I moved here in 2005. I was 50. We moved here because we knew the schools were good. And the neighborhoods were safe. And our kids were getting close to teenage years. But we had no idea how deep the culture went. And so then I kept getting shock, culture shock after culture shock, of good culture shock. And so, but I did start thinking about it once I started writing the book. And so I'll tell you this story. We'd been here maybe 3-4 weeks. We needed a doggy door. I went out and bought the best doggy door I could find. It wasn't guaranteed to hold up in a 20 below Arctic blast. Every once in a while we do get snow on the living room floor from it. But... But I don't want to open the door all the time for the dogs. You get a doorman at a...
What kind of dog do you have?
Well, at the time, we had two large golden mixes. And so, you know, you get a doorman when you go to a 5-star hotel. I don't want to be the doorman for my dog. So, at any rate, I met this carpenter at a rock concert, and briefly, and I called up a friend, and I said, what was the name of that guy we met at the rock concert? And so, anyway, his name was John. I called him up, John... I need a doggy door put in. Can you do that for me? He says, well, I'm building a house, but I'll come by after work tomorrow. So he shows up at 4 o'clock. I show him where I want it, and I'm figuring I'm going to get an estimate. The guy's been working all day on a house. He starts sawing a hole in the wall. So I figured, well, I really want this doggy door. That's okay. And then he figures out pretty quick, well, Mark, we have a problem because your wall is north wall, so it's very thick to keep the house warm. It's framed with 2x6s. And the bolts that come with the doggy door are made for a regular wall. So I'm going to have to custom make some bolts here. I've never heard of a carpenter custom making bolts that time. But anyway, I said, well, okay, I'll run out and get... Can I just go look for the right size bolt for you? He says, they won't have it. He said, you got to go buy me some... If you're going to run an errand for me, that's great. You got to buy me some threaded dowels, and I'll make the bolts. So I took one of the bolts from the doggy door kit, and I didn't believe him. So I went to Menards and Home Depot and Lowe's and ended up at Max. And he was right. Nobody had a bolt that was the right diameter that was long enough. So I ended up buying the threaded dowels like he had told me to do at Max. Took him back. He'd had everything framed out that he's hanging out with the dogs, you know. So he's waiting for me. So I hand him these threaded dowels, and he starts cutting them into the right length. I hacks on them in. So I said to him, I said, John, I remember Melody said you used to live in Arizona. Where were you? Oh, yeah, I got my master's degree there in Arizona. Oh, your master's degree. Well, what was that in? some kind of social work. I don't remember what it was. He says, yeah, and after that, right down the street, I got my doctorate. Clunk, as another bolt drops, you know. Your doctorate? I'm listening to, I'm watching a carpenter here. I'm starting to figure out the economy of Fargo. It's the hidden story of the economy of Fargo. There's a lot of PhDs who are carpenters. But anyway, well, because so many talented people want to live here for the culture, they give up a whole lot of potential career opportunities to come to Fargo and live here. But anyway, but that's not the only story. So he's hacks on these bolts, and you got a doctor. What's your doctorate in? And he says, a ministry. I said, ministry? Is that like a doctor of divinity or something? He kind of chuckled. He says, yeah, kind of like that. Clunk. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say anything at the time. I was thinking to myself, I wonder, if you really understand Jesus, do you become a carpenter? And later when the book came out and John read the story, he came up to me at a party that we were at, and he says, you know, I think you kind of got it right there, Mark. But that has to do with church politics and stuff. But anyway, which he didn't want to have any part of. But at any rate, so then about within 10 minutes after that, he's wrapping up this doggy door, and it looks gorgeous with his custom-fitted bolts and everything. And I'm getting my checkbook out, and I'm thinking, okay, he's been here 3 hours, including my, you know, hour of running around looking for bolts that weren't there that he told me not to look for. And I'm thinking, 3 hours, he's really good, $75 an hour, $225 is what I'm thinking to myself. I like to warn myself of these things ahead of time. And I say, okay, John, so what do I owe you? He says, nothing, it's a housewarming gift. Oh. And, yeah, yeah. Hey, John, I hope you're listening. That applause was for you. Yeah, yeah. And I'm going, no, John, you've been here 3 hours. He just stood up with his, he's got this great grin. He gave me this big grin, stuck out his hand, said, welcome to Fargo. And so these were the kinds of things that kept happening over and over and over
but
again.
But surely, no, that's one example, and that's a great example. And actually, a tear came to my eye.
It
might be allergies. Yeah. It might be.
No, I think Kristen left some. Kristen left some onion up here.
The housewarming gift. That's very sweet.
But that's how I came up with the phrase "How Fargo of you," because you can't say thank you to that or how nice of you. It's inadequate. Yeah. So I finally, after these things kept happening, I was like, okay, how Fargo of you?
Right. And like the story for the newspaper, the guys who pulled Justin Bieber's truck into the bean place.
That's normal.
Wouldn't take
here.
Anything for
that
it.
Is normal.
Except
around
t-shirts
here.
Got t-shirts. Those are worth something. I
that
guess.
Is normal. You know, when I ran into Kristen, your earlier guest, as soon as she saw me, she said, "Oh, Mark," she said, I had a Shanley boy story," because that's chapter two, which is before chapter three, the one I just told you. she said, "Oh yeah, no, I moved like a month ago, and I had these kids helping me, and they wouldn't take any money, and I couldn't get anything for them, and they just wanted to do it." Yeah, so it is, you know, Fargo teaches you...
Well, what the heck is that, then?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it's a mystery, but it's a wonderful mystery.
And even
mystery.
At the Bismarck Tavern there.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. You're talking about Lou, the guy from Louisiana? Is that what
you're saying? Yeah, and, you know, I mean, that, so the Bismarck has a reputation as it's kind of like a Viking hangout.
It is.
I mean, you don't expect to get help from a Viking, necessarily.
No, but, you know, there was this thing that happened 1,000 years ago, which was the Christianity made it up there. Mm. And I'm convinced that there was something weird that happened because... The Vikings could really relate to that guilt trip that Paul was laying on them.
Ah.
Because Jesus never laid a guilt trip on anybody, but Paul did. And they could really relate to that because they didn't have any grudges. They had just been, you know, Europe for them was a buffet.
Yeah.
So when Christianity made it up there, they took it to heart in a way that other places that still kind of had grudges. Like, yeah, well, I like this Christian thing, but I still want to get back at that guy.
Right.
They didn't have anybody to get back at. They had been doing it to them for centuries, and so when you that is part of the heritage.
But, you know, it ruined the whole raping and pillaging thing, though.
It did. But you know,
couldn't do it after that.
The story of Leif Erikson and his dad. I mean, Erik the Red, his dad was one of the baddest Vikings. He was such a bad Viking. They kicked him out of Norway, and then they kicked him out of Iceland, and he ended up in Greenland. And then his son, his wife, Eric the Red's wife, and became a Christian, and his son became a Christian. And from everything we can tell, man, these were some pacifist Christians. Now, they were still...
Now, you're saying the Bismarck Tavern is a Christian hangout.
No, no, but...
Like a street mission for Viking Christianity.
Here's the truth. Here's how I know about the Bismarck. I got a call when I was on the radio one day talking about how Fargo view, and this guy had just come up from Louisiana 2 weeks earlier. His first night in Fargo, he gets stuck in a snowbank because he'd never driven in the snow. He walks into the Bismarck, and he's telling us on the radio, and he says, "Now I got to tell you. Because he walked into the Bismarck, it was the only place open where he could get some help," he thought. And he said, "I got to tell you, I'm a black guy from Louisiana. And I didn't know what to expect. And I walked in there, and I swear to God, Michael, he used these exact words. This is why I had to write the story. He said, "And I walked in there, and I found myself surrounded by giant bearded Norsemen." And Dan, the DJ, and I are listening to him, and we're wondering, what's going to happen next? And he said, "So I went over to the bartender kind of quietly, and I said, 'Do you have a phone here I can use?' And he pointed down to the end of the bar. There was a phone there. And I started going, and one of the big guys stopped me, and he said, 'So what do you need a phone? What do you need a phone for?'" You know, giant bearded Norseman. "What do you need a phone for?" And Lou said, "Explain." "Well, I got stuck in a snowbank outside." And he said, as I'm explaining this to him, he reaches into his pocket, he pulls out his car keys, and he hands them to me. And he says, "Well, you can use my truck to get it out. It's the big red one right up front. It's got a strap in the back." And we're laughing, and Lou says, he says, "Where I come from, people don't hand the car keys to strangers." So we're laughing. We said, so what'd you do?" He says, "Well, I didn't take the keys because I didn't even know what a strap in the back was. That was my first night in Fargo." For those of you not from Fargo, a strap in the back is something you keep there so you can rescue people who get stranded on the side of the road in a snowdrift. I've gotten stuck a couple of times on the side of the road, and I've never waited more than about 20 seconds for somebody with a strap in the back. I swear to God, 20 seconds to stop and pull me out. At any rate, then one of the other big guys, he said, just elbowed him and said, "Oh, don't make him do it himself. Let's go." And he described them as three muscled-up young Santas just pushed him out of the snowbank and stuck him. These are how Fargo view stories. This is what the culture is like up here. It's kind of a mystery.
Let me ask you this then. Now, you're from Phoenix and all that.
Yeah.
So you're not a natural-born Fargoan.
No.
Can one achieve Fargo-ness? And how does one achieve Fargo-ness? Is it difficult to do? Because I think, like I said, when I come here, I feel embarrassed to be me, with all my egregious shortcomings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people are so nice, nice for no reason. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
For no reason.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
How can you attain that state?
I don't, it's kind of like a... Can you attain pure nirvana? Well, no, I'm not sure you can. But the people around who really have the total Fargo-ness are so nice it makes you feel like you have. So, if you get it, there's a thing about Fargo. I've talked to, of course, hundreds of people about this, and every once in a while you'll meet an angry person. No. And if somebody walks through Fargo angry, they will never know that Fargo-ness exists. Mm. They will think that people are a little standoffish around here. Because when you see someone angry around here, it's kind of weird. You kind of stay away from them. It's not like New York where you just kind of want to cuddle. But, anger is a sign of affection in some parts of the country, but it isn't around here. And so if you get it and you're honest about your own faults, then it's wonderful. Mm. It's really then it flows around.
So is there a how Bismarck of you? Is that coming out now? Or
no.
How St. Louis? Are you doing a series of books? How St. Louis of you?
No.
How Orlando of you?
No, I'm going to do a How Fargo of You 2, T-O-O, which is lots of other people's stories. One of the things that happened after I wrote the book and I put it out, I started hearing bazillions of stories all the time, and I started doing the math on it. I realized, I've had about 30 of these things happen in the 5 years we had lived here. And so that's, you know, that's six a year for me, and if you multiply that, the metro area here is about 200,000. And I went, six times 200, wow, there's probably over a million of these things happening to people every year around here.
Yeah.
And there are. There's just bazillions of these kinds of stories. And
you get a good sampling of them if you read How Fargo of You, Mark Dussel.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming here and sharing Fargo-ness with us. Mark Dussel, How Fargo of Him, to write this. Love it. Lessons in Kindness for America's Most Surprising Success. Mark Dussel. How Fargo of You. Wonderful. I love that Christian sect there in the Bismarck. That's my favorite part, Christian Vikings in the Bismarck. You guys want to play a little something?
We'll play a little one.
Yeah. What are you thinking about doing this time? A little Tchaikovsky. How about some Tchaikovsky?
Can
you guys do that? You can do that. You took classical, didn't you? Yeah.
This is actually by Tchaikovsky's brother.
Oh.
Little known composer.
Fred Kowski?
Bob.
Oh, Bob Kowski.
And once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. What? Me? Oh, okay. Bring a microphone back. How can I walk to this? This is... walk to that. Give me something I can walk to. Give me a march. Give me a march. What, am I going to slink across the stage to these people? You know how that looks in a man my age? I think, in fairness, now we've had how Fargo is, and there, you know, when you're from Fargo, and I think no one would disagree with that, but Bismarck is kind of out in the cold here. We do have Sister Nicole here, who's a chemistry professor at the University of Mary, and she's from Bismarck. Sister, are you still here, or did you? Other dude? Yes. I wonder if we get the other side. A defense of Bismarck, or how Bismarck of you, from Sister Nicole, and I'll get over here. And, oh, you're coming down to meet me. Thank you very much. How are you?
Good. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. How Bismarck of you? What would that book be like?
I think it would be a lot like that. Yeah. Also, we'd include our Benedictine hospitality.
Yeah.
I'm a Benedictine sister, so... That's one of our values.
They're the best, I think. They're my favorite group of sisters.
Good. I really like them.
Yeah. That's all you want to say? I mean, you can make it a little... He's got a whole book out on it. You got to give us a little more to work with here.
Well, I am a chemistry teacher, so I do my best to help educate the young people, especially health science majors.
Great.
That's our specialty at the University of Mary.
And if I was stuck in a snowbank, would the sisters rush out there with a strap on the back of the... They would, wouldn't they?
We would. We would. We have a few loader tractors at our monastery to help. And some maintenance men who do most of the hard work for us.
Yeah. See, they're North Dakotans in Bismarck. That's the thing of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice to meet you. Appreciate it. Just wanted to get that out there. Because I was feeling kind of bad about, you know, a little one-sided in it. Now, and Tiffany, fear? Fire?
Fear.
Fear. It is fear. See, I got it right, and then I second-guessed. Oh, she's just so excited. We'll get that out of you in a hurry. Everybody come up on the same, because you're tall, and I got to be up on this one here.
Okay.
And then how are you?
I'm so excited to be on the radio. I've been listening to your show since I was in grad school.
You could do Gene Lundegaard, I think. That part.
See, she's really right. You kind of go up. I got to bring it back down.
Tiffany, I like you already.
I get like this when I get excited. I'm sorry.
And you're from Wisconsin.
I used to work in Madison, actually, a lot.
And you came to Fargo.
I did. I work at the university now at North Dakota State University.
Yeah. And have you discovered the same things about Fargo that everyone else has?
I am from Wisconsin, and yeah. There's a lot of that. I grew up, well, I lived in the a Norwegian area of Wisconsin yeah. as well, so yeah. so the Norwegian thing is very familiar to me.
Yeah. But, I mean, have you purposely got yourself stuck in a snowbank, for example, just to see if in 20 seconds you would get pulled out?
Like I said, I learned how to drive in Wisconsin, so I'm pretty used to the driving conditions yeah. so far.
Is the Wisconsin Norwegian experience much different from the North Dakotan Norwegian experience?
Well, I've only been here for a couple months, yeah. so I haven't had a lot of experience with yeah. that. But my husband, his family's Norwegian, so yeah. I've definitely had lefse, but I've never had lutefisk. That stuff's disgusting.
I had some in, well, they told me how they made it, though, you know? I mean, they start off, it's a whitefish or something, isn't it? It's a cod. But who had the inspiration of pouring lye onto cod? Do you have any? Was that in the Bible somewhere?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Anyone here know how that started? I'm supposed to preserve it, right? Yeah. But that's going over the top. I mean, you preserve it as fish jello, basically. Right.
It smells funny too.
Yeah.
I've been at a Norwegian meal and it's gross.
Yeah.
But lefse is delicious.
Lefse is good, and that's
my
the hero there.
Makes it. My mother-in-law makes it. It's really
Fargo,
neat.
Has it lived up to its expectations for you?
Yes, I'm very happy to be here.
Are you teaching at the university?
Yeah, I'm an assistant professor of set design in the theater department.
Oh, no kidding. How cool.
Yes, it's very cool. It's my first professor job. I'm very excited. I can't believe I'm on the show.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe you're on either. Thank you, dear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, too.
She's a sweetheart. You gotta love Tiffany. Anyone here actually make lefse? A lefse maker? You've made it? Okay, can you tell me just step by step, how do you do that?
I was with my grandmother at the time, and I don't remember.
Okay. Well, that's not going to help. Someone's made it here because people at home are thinking, you know, I'd like to pour some lion fish and see how that works. Maybe bury it in the yard or something like they do in Hawaii with the pigs and stuff. Put some lye in there and dig it up in spring. Get some lefse. Lefse, I could. Who said they knew? Oh, can I get you to stand up and just describe? What's the process involved? Where do you start?
You start with potatoes and you rice them and you put in your sugar and your butter and.
Well, that's the lefse.
Yeah.
But the lutefisk, I guess.
Lutefisk, you got to boil that.
That's not the end of it, though, is it?
Well, then you got to have your hot butter to pour on it when you serve it.
So you're telling me you just boil it and pour butter on it?
Well, sure, and then you eat it.
Where does the lie come in then? I mean, were they lying to me when they told me about that? Because
that's a process after you have to first catch it, and then you dry it, and then you
See, now
put
you're
it...
making this longer as we go along. Oh, didn't I mention? This is what my mother used to give, you know, direction or tell a recipe or something. Did I mention you put in yeast? No, you didn't, Mother. And the thing is... That's how they got lefse in the first place, I think. Did I mention you put it? No, I didn't mention put in yeast. So, where does the lye come in?
That's the end process. That's, you know, they put the fish in the, well, it used to be
you dig a pit?
Cask. No, it used to be a cask they would put it in after it was dried, and they'd put it down in the cask. You know, yeah. Okay. And then they'd pour the lye on top of it.
And bury it?
I don't think the dogs probably wanted to go bury it.
Okay. All right, well, that was sort of helpful. Thank you very much. And your name is?
My name is Emmy.
Emmy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you very much, Emmy. I guess I won't try it based on that. You ever made it?
I have never made lutefisk, no.
Okay. I don't know. It seems to me it probably wouldn't turn out right if I tried it based on those directions. I'll leave that for the time being. Ruth Atkins says, ask me no questions, tell me no lies. If you ever fall into a bucket of poop, close your eyes. Thanks, Ruth. And I have, too, and this would have been handy had I known it. The worst part is losing your glasses in a bucket of poop, because you really need to change your frames after that. Nancy Sager, perfusionist. Oh, that's Nancy. Oh, we met Nancy before. I didn't know she was a perfusionist, though. This is the woman with the spoon, the long spoon, sitting next to her. How are you?
Actually, I'm retired, but I thought that title would
interest you?
It did. Everything about me interests you since you mentioned the spoon incident. Perfusionist is a what?
It's a person that runs a heart-lung machine for open-heart surgery.
Oh, what a funny idea. No, that's wonderful, really. I thought it was something amusing, but I guess I can see this. Okay,
it's
well.
It's very Fargo of yeah. a person yes. to do that.
No, really, very, very. And you're retired from that, though?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And you say, I can speak Fargo, can you? Can you talk? No, I really.
Oh, you can't? Okay.
Oh, was that it?
Well, no. one day I called my brother and I told him that it was winter now and the snow had come down and he should think about that in his nice home in Virginia because they don't have the nice snowfalls that we do here. And
you were baiting him with this Fargo thing?
Yes. Yeah. And he kind of embarrass him when I talk like this when I'm out there. Because he thinks I'm a hick.
Yeah. So it, part of it is being earnest about what you're saying, but at the same time you're mocking the individual.
You betcha. Yeah.
Thank you, dear. Once again. All right. All right. Let's get going, huh? Yeah, okay. Okay. I'm told I should get going here. So let's do a quiz. What do you think? You saw it work the first time. It might work now. She's up. She wins. Never before has the audience actually leaped into the quiz. But, you know, Keith earlier set a precedent. And look who leaped up this time. Good thinking. You're ready. You were ready, and you leaped, yes. Hi.
She would like him to do it.
What?
I would like
you
him
leaped up for him?
Yes.
He didn't get out of his seat. Look, he slouched in his seat.
Yes, but I would like him to do it. It would
leaped
please
for him.
Yes.
Isn't that sweet? She leaped up for him, who was slouched in his seat. Who are you?
I'm Sarah Steffes.
Sarah, and you're?
I'm Mike Shelp.
You're what?
Mike Shelp.
Mike Shelp. She leaped up for you.
She did.
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
Sometimes she has more energy than I do. So.
Sometimes, yes. Mike, well, give me one good reason you should play this quiz then, Mike.
I have a vast amount of knowledge about useless things.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what made you leap?
Yes, he does.
All right, Mike, come on. See if it'll do you any good. Thank you for leaping. You're a lucky guy, Mike. Got her leaping for you. You can just schlump in your seat, as my mother used to say. Don't schlump. Why are you schlumping? As my mother. Yes. All right, let's see. There. Mike, what do you do these days?
I'm a teacher, social
oh, you are?
Studies teacher. Yes.
You are social studies?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sir.
And is that high school or college or?
I actually teach grades 7 through 12, so I get both the junior high kids and the high school kids.
Oh, that's cool. How do you make it interesting for them? You dress up in costume and.
You know, there was a day last year where I put on a green wig for the kids.
What did that prove?
I'm not sure.
Why'd you do that then, Mike? I mean, what was the occasion?
It was a suggestion from one of the students.
Really?
And I thought,
do you take other suggestions from your students?
It depends on the request.
Oh, okay. Do you have yourself a particular interest in history, social studies?
Yeah, definitely. Government.
Government?
American history, yes.
Yeah, oh, cool. Very cool. And your students share that by the time they're done with your course?
Some of them. I'd ballpark it at maybe, 15% leave my class with an interest. Still
15%?
Yeah.
That's pretty good, really. Yeah. You're I used to teach English, and I figured if I got one kid to read out of 30, who actually would start to read a book, and I thought it was a successful semester for me for that one. And, didn't always happen. And where do you do this, Mike? What school?
I teach in a little town called Fessenden, North Dakota.
Oh, yeah, do you? Yeah. What's the school called? The school is called?
Fessenden Bowdoin School.
Oh, yeah, okay. The Fighting?
Well, we co-op with another school, so it's the Hornets with Harvey.
Oh, North the Hornets. Dakota. Okay. Were they the Hornets first?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. All right, someone plays along with you.
I do.
Qualifying question kind of thing.
All the phone lines in Fargo are frozen, so there's no need to call this week.
Here's a qualifying question. What does North Dakota's Peace Garden commemorate? On the plates, they got the Peace Garden State on there. I want to know, what the heck is a Peace Garden? Is it where you have a peace here and you have a peace there? No, it's something else. We know that. What does the Peace Garden commemorate? If you know Aaron's in Green Bay, do you know, Aaron, what the Peace Garden means on the plates of North Dakota?
It commemorates peace.
I like the way you think, Aaron, but it's not quite definitive enough.
No, no. It commemorates peace between the Native Americans and the settlers of North Dakota.
Sorry, Aaron. Not your fault. You're from Green Bay. I love Green Bay, but you know, it's not here. Tom is from Grand Forks. You must know, Tom.
It's peace between the United States and Canada, the longest.
Oh, yeah. We haven't had a war since the Battle of Griffin's Pig. The Battle of Griffin's Pig. 1859 was the last war. It actually fought over a pig in Vancouver there when the other guys...
Cheese sandwiches they were fighting over.
Yeah, no, it was an actual war, the War of Griffin's Pig. Look it up. Tom, this is Mike.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
You guys are partners now, okay, in crime. And Tom, what do you do over there in Grand Forks?
Farm.
You're farming?
Yep.
Yeah, another boy. Okay, Tom, Mike.
Just outside of Manville, actually.
You are, really? Are you near the bean place, the Manville bean place?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, cool.
I didn't realize the bus was there, though.
Or you would have been out there. It was like 1:30 in the morning or something like that.
Well, that would explain it then.
Yeah. Okay, and here are the categories that we have.
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Tom, you pick first one. What would you like?
Things I should know had I been paying attention.
Okay, in school. What is that thing with the yellow bullet-shaped head in the maroon jersey at Concordia College?
That's Cobber.
Oh, Cobber. Okay. That explains it. Mike, you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm going to go along with Tom on this one.
Yeah, Cobber. He's a corn cob, I guess. Or something. Or an alien of some sort. Okay. Good.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And the remaining categories are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Mike?
You know, I think I'd like to go with people.
People it is, kind of. Survey results, maybe not. Yes. The number of newcomers to the oil patch in North Dakota who think they can fish without a license. This is so far this year. There have been 240, 316, or 433 who think they can fish without a license.
I don't know, Tom, what are you thinking on that
Outsiders
one?
Outsiders fishing without a license.
It's a horse apiece, I'd say 240. What was the middle one, 240?
You're already right. Why do you want to go on? That's right. That's exactly right. Good instincts, Tom. 240, so that's just the year is not over yet either.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left?
We have current events, places, science, or odds and ends.
Tom?
Current events.
Got all your corn in, Tom?
Yeah, actually, I don't do corn.
What do you do, then? Soybeans?
Wheat, soybeans, yeah.
Wheat, soybeans. Got your soybeans in?
Yes.
Good man. Kind of early this year, isn't it?
It was very early here.
Very early. Now you can go pheasant hunting or something, huh?
Sure.
Okay. trying to make small talk. I don't know. What did you want? What category did you choose?
I don't remember. I chose current events.
Current events, okay. So you don't shoot pheasants then, do you?
Not during football season. It's fighting football season.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Time to go hunting.
Okay. Did 16-year-old Ashley Ellison of Medora, North Dakota, get to whistle through her eye on Letterman? Or not?
I didn't even understand the question.
Okay. Did 16-year-old Ashley Ellison of Medora, North Dakota, get to whistle through her eye on Letterman? She was in there for the, you know, stupid people tricks.
Stupid human tricks, okay.
Human tricks, yeah.
I don't know, Mike, did you watch Letterman?
Boy, you know, I'm thinking that's true.
It's not true or false, did she, or she didn't? You think she did? Please, you're interrupting the process.
I got about 200 people saying no right now.
Come on. You're saying no?
I'm going to go with the audience. And say.
Yeah. Yeah, no is yes. She made the trip, and she had a wonderful trip. She didn't get on. I thought it was a bad deal. I would love to see that. Oh, you've won the quiz. The same situation as earlier. They can quit or what?
Or they can double down. They can answer one more question right to win the mother load, or if you get it wrong, you lose everything.
Yes, lose everything.
Tom, I swore if I got up here that we would go for it all, so I don't know.
We didn't come here to read books. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. All right, Tom. That was a crowd pleaser, Tom. The two of you work together, and this is it. The one is for everything, and it's back to...
We have either Places, Science, or Odds and Ends.
Yeah, is it Tom's turn? No, it's Mike's.
Yes, yeah. It's Mike's turn.
Mike. How about Odds and Ends? Please?
Odds and Ends, this could be anything, though, Mike. Here's the idea, North Dakota cuisine. What is the trick to a bologna sandwich? Hello? did we lose power? What is the trick to a bologna sandwich, North Dakota style?
Tom, I have to tell you, I haven't eaten a bologna sandwich in years. And
all right. Now, we know there's the bologna. We know there's the bread. We want to know, what's the trick to this? Is there something added to the sandwich?
Like mustard, Mike.
Or mustard or cheese whiz or something like
cheese
that.
Cheese whiz, maybe?
What's the trick?
I'm thinking it's not the cheese whiz. But
or is it, cheese whiz?
I think it's probably the cheese whiz.
Or, I was told this. If it's not true, I apologize. The secret was, the bologna sandwich was to put a little what on it?
Tom, are you feeling confident about the cheese whiz?
Tom?
I think so, yeah.
Cheese Whiz is right, yes, even if it's not true. Holy cow, we did it.
Mike, your prize package begins with wine from the Maple River Winery, located in historic downtown Castleton, North Dakota. Then delve into the decades-long sports rivalry between the North Dakota State University and the University of North Dakota with the new DVD, When They Were Kings, produced by Prairie Public Television, along with a handsome Prairie Public long-sleeve T-shirt. Top it off with a faux fur Fargo hat from Fargo Moorhead Convention and Visitors Bureau. Then show your bison pride with a bison fan T-shirt courtesy of North Dakota State University. Tom, while some potatoes become lefse, others are turned into chocolate-covered potato chips made by Carol Widman's Candy Company of Fargo, handmade quality candy since 1885. Then read The Midwest, God's Gift to Planet Earth, an illustrated guide to the history and culture of the galaxy's most important region, from Ray Gunn of Des Moines. And keep warm this winter wearing a Fargo Moorhead sweatshirt from the Fargo Moorhead Convention and Visitors Bureau. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, wait, there's more. When around here, where do you go? Kroll's Diner, that's right. Who do you hope you get? Eileen. She's here. She brought some soup. It's Eileen from Kroll's Diner. Holy cow. You're famous.
Well, I think I am sometimes.
Yeah. You think you're famous. You must get recognized all over. And
well, I do, but my family don't really think I'm so special.
No. And your own family doesn't recognize you? They should recognize your own family.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And are you the newcomer at
yes,
Kroll's?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How long have you been there?
Since January.
Just since January?
Yeah.
Did you have to audition for the...
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw that one. Do you have to actually make the burgers and stuff and put the buns on right? No, is that
I
just...
didn't put my bun on right, but you know how that is.
Yeah, you know how that is. Have you done this kind of thing before?
Well, I worked in restaurants all my life, so yeah I think I kind of know what restaurant business is.
Is Kroll's a little bit different, though?
Well, the concept is a little different because it is a big restaurant. It's just a little, like old... railroad car or something,
Yeah.
But it's very neat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is it all German?
Pretty much. Yeah. It's American food, too, though.
Yeah. American-German food.
Yes.
American-Russian-German.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah, food. And this is an example here, the soup. This is called...
Nefla.
That's how you say it.
Yeah.
Hello, little Nefla.
The K is silent like everything else.
Oh, I was going to say the K.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a very good soup, that Nefla.
Yes.
Oh, what are the things floating in it? I found a thing floating in it. Is that supposed to be there?
It's not lutefisk.
No, good.
They're dumplings.
Oh, potato type?
Potato dumpling.
Oh,
Not a potato dumpling. No, that's Norwegian.
Mm.
Yeah.
What kind is it then?
Just an egg dumpling.
Oh, it's very good. And the soup is called the
Nefla.
Nefla.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So is there a training period when you go in there? Did you have to go through a rigorous trial period or something?
No. It was very laid back and fun, you know.
Yeah. Does the wait persons, they call you wait persons or waitress?
We don't actually work in the Kroll's restaurant.
No.
But
you don't?
No.
What do you do then?
I go there and eat.
Let me get this straight then. You, Eileen, featured on billboards and TV commercials and so forth, actually don't work there. You go in there and eat.
Yes. Sit down and eat.
Sit down and eat. The Kroll's motto. Well, that's a pretty good job then.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's really fun.
It's only fair to have all these years of serving people that you should get down and sit down and eat.
Well, don't you think?
It's wonderful. The soup is wonderful. What else do they have of German origin there?
Let's see. No, you caught me off guard. I my mind went blank.
Yeah, it's okay. Make something up.
Fleischkekle.
What?
Fleischkekle.
What?
Yeah. It's not made of flesh.
No, there's flesh in it, though.
It sounds that way.
Sounds like...
Yeah, it's actually a dough with hamburger rolled inside.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
we've had that, but we never called it anything.
You didn't call it anything?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just something Mom made.
Michael, I think there are beverages waiting for you, too, backstage.
Yes, and we're going to add to this. We got something for you. Want to stay and join us here? We're having cordials.
Wonderful.
We're having cordials now. We got from Greg Kempel from Maple River's winery and... Yes. Hey, Greg, just sit here and let's open the chair here. That's what you do. You sit for a living and eat. Yeah. Now we're going to have some of these cordials here. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Great. Yourself?
Yeah, great. Nice to see you. You know, you can hold that if you like.
Welcome to Fargo.
Yeah. So, and your Maple Rivers started like 6 years ago, something like that?
We started making wine about 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
We started making brandy and good stuff about 3 years ago.
Yeah. And this is unique, what you make here, isn't it?
Choke cherry brandy, the only place in the world to get it.
Choke cherry brandy. Shall we have some?
Oh, let's open it up and pour some.
Yeah. Eileen, do you care for a little choke cherry brandy?
Why not?
You're a wonderful dinner date. Oh, we're going to have some here. Oh, God, we're running out of time. We better drink it quick.
There you go.
Let's down it. Tell us a little about why it's unique.
I'll tell you what. It's made with just choke cherries. We don't even have enough to produce enough to put in the stores yet. It's just in our tasting room. Nice and smooth.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh.
Now we know what we're going to do after the show.
Yeah. Fleischerkunkel, as we say.
You're supposed to shoot it.
Yeah, shoot it. Greg Kempel, Maple Rivers Winery and Distillery. Thank you so much. Sorry to have more time.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. Adam Friedrichs, our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests, Kristen Rudbrood, Mark Tassell, Tim Sparks, Eileen from Kroll's, and Craig Kempel. I'm Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.